Hi guys, I am back home again, albeit this time I've chosen the comfy chair so that I can sit back and regale you with tales of things that have happened during the week. There's not actually a lot to talk about in terms of writing, although there is one particular blog post I want to spend quite a bit of time on. But there are a few other things I did which I've not necessarily communicated very much online, which I thought I might share. Now, when I did the update last week, I was in Sydney next to the Opera House, and I was there for the NDC Sydney Agenda Committee planning meetings. This was where we chose all the speakers who were going to be at NDC in Sydney in October. August. Don't come in October, it'll be wrong. August. So we did all of that. That's all gone well. I think they'll all get announced pretty soon. While I was there as well, I went and visited Lenovo, or at least the agency that does a lot of Lenovo's promotions. I've said a number of times before, I'm part of Lenovo's insider group, where they send me machines, which is quite nice. That's a good perk. I'm part of that because I bought Lenovo stuff for a very long time, either by virtue of working at Pfizer, and Pfizer delivered all their machines, or rather got all their machines from Lenovo. And then while I was there and I got my own personal machine, I got Lenovo too because I was just really happy with them. So I've had ThinkPads, in fact, ThinkPads since well before they were Lenovo. So I'm very happy with the brand. Anyway, so I went and visited them, and they gave me one of these. Now, the most immediate thing you may notice here, and this is part of the reason I'm sitting in the light, is that I have a lot of fingerprints on this machine. It's a beautifully made machine, but if you're going to buy one, black may not be the best idea. Not if you're worried about things like prints. Anyway, let me get into it, because that's sort of the primary complaint. This is a Yoga 910. So this is an evolution of the Yoga, which I also have, the Yoga 900, which I also have. I'll show you in a moment. But there's a bunch of stuff that's changed. It's really quite a different machine. And one of the first things that struck me is that when you look at the construction of it, it's all aluminium. So it's an aluminium case like the 900 was, but it's also aluminium all around the edges. And where you rest your palms, etc., is aluminium too. So all of this is sort of this nice kind of cool metal. Now, that differs to the 900, which was down here, which was kind of plastic, and then the actual palm rests and everything were almost feels like a rubber, kind of a soft rubber. So that's a little bit different. Other thing, when we sort of stack them next to each other like this, is that ports and things have changed quite a bit. So I'll just try and get them in the right light. So one of the things we notice here is there's no more SD card. There's no more USB port on this side of the machine. It's only got one USB port on the other side now. The proprietary power adapter has changed to USB-C, which is good because USB-C is kind of the open standard that we'd like to charge our things with so that we don't need too many different power adapters. And then a little bit similar on the other side, or it's just been simplified. So there's just a lot less going on there, which is kind of nice. The reset button has gone. We've now just got the boot to BIOS button, or boot to recovery mode, which is kind of cool. It's just a nicer made machine. A few other things as well while we're sitting here looking at machines. One of them is that the touchpad has changed quite a bit. Now, one of the cool things about this, as I'm opening it up, is that it does the whole sort of turn into a tablet thing. So you can kind of go like that, all the way around. And when I travel, I'll often sort of sit that on a hotel bed like that, and then I can sort of watch TV or movies or whatever it is that I tend to do on my things, which is kind of cool. So this is a really nice machine for that. Now, on to the point about the touchpads. Looking at them together, it's not a massive difference, but that. So it's grown, I don't know, maybe 20%, something like that. But a little bit more room for your fingers, which is cool. Fingerprint reader as well, which is kind of nice. To be honest, one of the things that bugged me the most about this, and it's the same deal with most of the... Look at what I'm clicking on now. It's the same deal with most of the PCs I've had in the past, is having to type in a password. And the P50 I have, which is the sort of big, heavy-duty guy, that has got a fingerprint reader, and that made a hell of a difference because I was no longer sort of having to go and, you know, manually type in your password. You're worried about people shoulder surfing. I've got the kind of password you'd expect me to have, which is not always easy to type in. So fingerprint reader is awesome there. Now, one of the other things, and this kind of stunned me when I figured it out, or rather when I noticed it, is how fast it's booting. So if I go from totally cold boot, and I make sure I actually hold down the button properly, and we go to Lenovo screen to actually booted, well, that was quick. And that was shut down too. And then of course you can do the fingerprint thing, and we're going to be straight in, which is awesome. So I love this in terms of convenience, which is a good machine. Now once we're in there, and I'll just open up a web page on this one, one of the cool things here, let's put the blog, I'll put the same page actually as on the 900. The cool thing is the bezels, because the bezels are now quite different. Now keeping in mind that it's a touch screen, which I keep touching and screwing up what I'm meant to have on the screen, the cool thing here, oh man, go back, back. One thing about slimmer bezels is that there's much less room to hold it and to try and show you things on the screen. So let's try and 1Password wants to authorize. Yes, you can authorize that. I'm still setting this machine up. I built most of it last night, including things like deleting partitions with generic sort of drivers and things on it, which I really would rather just have the space back for. All right, here we go. So let's see if I can hold this without touching things. When you have a look at the bezels on this latest blog post, so you'll see this one over here, much, much thinner bezels. This one over here, much thicker. They've actually repositioned the camera from the top down to the bottom. So now we've got a camera down here on the 910, whereas the camera's at the top. But there's no more bezel left up the top on the 910. So, you know, that's kind of neat. So this is a nice machine. Like I say, the main complaint I have is that the black shows fingerprints like you wouldn't believe, which was not, you know, really what I expected. I would probably, if you had the choice, I'd go and get a 910 and I'd get it in silver like this, because once you go silver, you're not going to see those prints. Oh, actually, last thing. So this does have a fan in it, all right, the 900. So does the 910. And one of the things I've noticed is every now and then I pick it up, and I think it's the way I pick it up just here. It just compresses just a little bit and I hear the fan touch something. Doesn't seem to happen on the 910, I suspect, because it's all aluminium now and there's no sort of squishy plastic in there. This fan also used to go on quite a lot. Like you'd be sitting there and you're going, wow, what's going on? You know, it's not hash cracking with it or anything like that, but the fan's whirring away and going kind of nuts. Doesn't seem to happen on the 910. So that's a pretty neat little machine. For folks asking, because a few people asked me on Twitter, if you could have that as a primary dev machine, get a well-specced one. The 910 they gave me is only an i5 with 8 GB of RAM. The 900 that I'd previously had was an i7 with 16. An i7 with 16, you're going to be able to do a lot with. I don't mind too much having the lower spec machine because I've got the P50 to do anything serious with anyway. And frankly, I do email and Word documents and stuff like that. Anyway, so that's that. That's the machine. That's kind of nice. If you've got any questions about that, shoot them over. Now, other things. On Saturday, around the world, we had the Azure Global Bootcamp. So different parts of the Microsoft community all the way around the world ran these free events that people could go along to and learn about Azure. I went up to Brisbane and did a talk there. So that's about a 1 hour drive for me from where I am on the Gold Coast. And I did a very similar talk to what I did at Microsoft Ignite back in February in Australia about running Azure on a coffee budget. And this was really about things that I'd learned running Have I Been Pwned and trying to keep my cost at an absolute bare minimum. So this was a lot of stuff like, how do we use app services efficiently to service multiple websites? How do we use autoscale? How do I use different storage constructs? So a relational database as well as table storage and queue storage, and use them all together. How do I use things like functions? Functions are really, really cool. Very early days, they need to be evolved a lot more and get a lot slicker, but for doing simple things, they are actually really neat. I talked a lot about that. What I'll do in the notes for this blog post is link to the Ignite talk I did, which is sort of the bigger, more formal talk, so that if you want to see that, you can find that info over there. And all that will be good. So that's those two things. Third thing, my HTTPS course on Pluralsight, What Every Developer Must Know About HTTPS, has gone absolutely nuts. which is good. That's what you want out of a course, not just because you get to influence a lot of people, but because, for those of you who don't know, everything that myself and other authors put on Pluralsight is driven by royalties. So we only get paid if people actually like watching our stuff and watch more of it, which actually seems kind of fair. So that's gone really well. Out of the 6,000 courses, and Pluralsight has just passed 6,000 courses, it's been up as high as number 9, which I'm really, really happy about for both of the reasons mentioned before. And it's currently hovering around that 10 mark, going up and down a bit. It's also rating either 4.9 or 5.0 stars out of 5 stars, which is obviously pretty good. I'm very, very happy with that. So that's awesome. And honestly, as anyone who creates material that you put out there, whether it's free or commercial, having people look at your stuff, consume it, and enjoy it is just the most rewarding thing in the world. So that's really awesome. And thank you, everyone who has been watching that and getting those views and giving it those stars. All right, so on to blogging things. And I'm going to bring this machine back up. And just in case you're listening on the podcast, I am showing the blog post about wiring a home network from the ground up with Ubiquiti. Now, this is where I want to get a bit comfortable and talk about this. I'm going to bring you guys over a little bit. So I've written a bunch of Ubiquiti things over the last few months, a couple of blog posts, lots of tweets, things like that. And Ubiquiti is this networking gear which can be used in commercial purposes. You can use it in your home as well. And originally I put it in my home because I was just so sick of how bad the consumer grade stuff was performing. So I had Linksys gear. It was dismal. It literally kept dropping the connection speed, had to keep resetting it, didn't have good coverage, all that sort of stuff. So I put the Ubiquiti gear in place. All my problems gone, probably because I have 5 access points spread around the house as well. But I went out, bought all that stuff out of my own sort of hard-earned cash, made it all work, was very happy about it. Wrote about it, got a lot of traction. Long story short, moving on to current times, my brother and his wife bought a house. And this was an old house. It was sort of a 1980s era house. And they wanted to renovate it before they moved in. And I'm like, can I build the network? You know, like, can I play with your house just to build some cool stuff? And they were very happy with that because they've had crappy network in the past as well. And obviously I wanted to use the Ubiquiti bits. And what we actually did is we used a bunch of these in-wall access points. I'm just going to refer down to my notes so I can give you model numbers. I'm going to link you to it anyway. But they have these access points called UAP-AC1Ws. And what they are is, if you can imagine a normal Ethernet jack on a wall, right? Like a PowerPoint. So you've got a faceplate and you've got one, maybe two sockets. Sits on the wall. This is those, but with an access point built into them. So they don't just provide wired connectivity. They actually have an access point broadcasting 2.4G, 5G, 802.11, all the things, which is awesome. So you can actually put an access point in each room. So that was really cool. We said, okay, well, look, we've got to do this because these are cool. We went to buy them and we couldn't get them anywhere because they hadn't launched. You could only get the older ones that didn't do 5 gigahertz and didn't do AC. So they kind of didn't do today's technology. And to cut a long story short, and I disclosed in the blog as well, I got in touch with them and they said, well, look, the reason it's not live yet, or they're not on the market yet, is because we weren't quite happy with the fit. It wasn't just perfect. So they said, tell you what, how many do you need? We'll send you some of the ones that aren't quite perfect for free. So there's the disclosure. And I was like, okay, free is good. I don't mind too much if the cover's a little wonky. In fact, it wasn't my problem anyway. I wasn't going to pay for it. It was my brother. So he was very happy. So we got 7 of these. And what we did is we got the house wired with Cat6 so that all the points around the house where you would want either wired or wireless connectivity have one of these units. So the kids' bedrooms have one, master bedroom, study, the living room because you want connectivity near your TV these days. We put them out all the way around the house. We went and got some of the same gear that I have in my house. So a unified security gateway, which does all your DHCP and does a few different firewall bits and pieces. Your cloud key, which has all the management interface on it. Because one of the big differences about the Ubiquiti gear is it's not like, let's just have one box and we put everything in there, which is your consumer stuff. Instead, you have different units that do different things. So the cloud key runs all the admin interface. And then unlike me, they actually got some rack mounted stuff. So because they were sort of designing this house from the ground up, they got to kind of build it the way that people like probably you and myself would build a house if we had free rein or a network in a house. So they went and got a 24 port switch from Ubiquiti. It's a power over Ethernet switch. So it can actually power all of these access points. So it doesn't need to have a mains connector as well. They went and got a patch board. They went and got a nice cabinet. And to me, this was one of the coolest things because I've got a photo in there of what my garage looks like, where I've got my wires running into, my patch cabinet, for want of a better term, and it's an absolute mess. And I do disclose it in the photo here, but it is terrible. I'm not proud of it. I don't really have the capacity to put a cabinet in there for multiple reasons. Anyway, so they got a nice cabinet, got a nice patch panel, and it looks awesome. And those bits weren't expensive either. It was like $170 Australian, which is about probably $140 US for the cabinet. And the patch panel was well under $100. And then the Unify bit, the Ubiquiti bits, I think in total, the total spend for everything would have been well under $2,000 Australian, even if they had it paid retail for all the bits. Everything else they did pay retail for, it was just those in-wall jobs that we got Ubiquiti to send us. So basically, we got all this set up, and they've now got this nice environment where you can kind of roam around the house and your device connects to the access point with the best signal. They got lots of coverage outside. They got all the nice sort of graphs and things like that that I've shown before. And they're really happy, which is good. Although my sister-in-law did come the other day and she said, Oh, the internet's a bit slow. Can you fix it? No, that's Australia. Sorry. your internal network is awesome, but I can't help the fact that we're still connecting out over copper wire, and don't get me started down that track. So that was Ubiquiti. Have a look at that, because if you're building a house from ground up, putting this stuff in now is honestly the best possible thing you can do, because you're going to have so many different things connected to your Wi-Fi if you don't already, and this stuff I'm sure they'll get a good decade out of before we look at and go, yeah, maybe we've got to replace a few bits. And even then, it will only be a few. Stuff like a standard rack unit is not going to change over the next decade. So all of that was cool. That was Ubiquiti. I will link to that. Only other thing is I've got Gold Security still sponsoring me this week. So thank you very much for those guys. They've been around for a bit now. They're going to be around a lot more over the rest of the year too. And that sponsorship model is still going fantastically. I deleted all of the ad code from my blog some time ago, even the ad code that said, if I don't have a sponsor, fall back to ads. Not going to happen. If I don't have a sponsor, we're going to fall back to a message which says, I don't have a sponsor. And that's going to be it. So I'm very happy with that decision. And I hope everyone else is too, because there's a lot less crap that actually appears on my blog. That's it for this week. I will still be here next week, which will be great. I'm sure other crazy stuff will happen between now and then, and I do have at least a couple of new blog posts that I'll push out before I catch you in a week. Thanks very much for watching.